In this video, I want to start the process of dissecting that first tiny application that we wrote in the previous video. I want to spend a few moments and look at every line of code that we wrote and all the actions that we took in that program.cs file as a basis for future exploration in C#. So, first of all, a quick review. In the previous video, we started out by using the Visual C# Express Edition IDE, which at this point, for our simple purposes, is identical to the Visual Studio IDE. And we created a new project called Hello World. Then we wrote code in an area that was defined by an opening and a closing curly brace. Then we ran the application by clicking the Start Debugging button on the toolbar of the IDE, and this opened up a Windows Console application window with the words Hello World printed. We were able to then hit the Enter key on our keyboard, and it terminated the execution of our application. So I hope you can see how your actions manifested themselves in the application. What I really want to do is cement the ideas in your mind, because this really provides the foundation for everything that comes next. So let's start from the inside and work our way out, and let's start with the code that we wrote. We use a programming language called C#. Now, obviously, there are many different programming languages in the world. At this moment, C# is one of two popular languages that are used to create .NET applications. C# is one of the main programming languages that Microsoft supports in Visual Studio. I'd highly recommend that you learn as much about C# over the coming days and weeks as possible. It's probably your best choice whenever you're getting started. Most developers aspire to learn one programming language thoroughly when they're first starting out, and then once you master a single programming language, it becomes easier and easier to add second and subsequent languages to your repertoire. Because the concepts transfer over from language to language. As somebody who has been writing applications for over 15 years, I can assure you that C# is a really good language to start with. So when you learn how to write applications with C#, learning the syntax of C#, in other words, the nouns and the verbs and the punctuation of the programming language, is just half of the battle. The other half of the battle is learning about the related pre-built functionality that's available to the programming language. Now, in our case, Microsoft has created something called the .NET Framework. And while that kind of sounds mysterious, it's actually not that bad. For right now, there's just two parts of the .NET Framework that we need to be concerned about. First, there is a class library, which is simply a library of code that Microsoft wrote to take care of difficult tasks so that we as developers don't have to worry about them. There's a library code to help with math operations, to help with working with text, to displaying things on the computer screen, or transmitting information over the internet, and a lot more. The second part of the .NET Framework is called the runtime. It's also known as the Common Language Runtime, or just the CLR. I kind of think of it as a protective bubble that your application lives inside of. And what I mean by that is that when you write your code, the .NET Framework makes your job a lot easier in a couple of important ways. First of all, your code that you write and compile runs inside of the .NET Framework runtime, which is an application that wraps around your application. The runtime takes care of low-level details, like managing how the data in your application is moved into and out of memory, and other similar functionality that prevents your application from accidentally crashing somebody's computer. Okay? It also helps out by giving you access to that code library that we spoke about just a moment ago, the class library. You can make use of that library of code that's been written by Microsoft to take care of low-level details like displaying data to the screen, moving data from one computer to another, working with dates and time, and basically the down and dirty details of opening up files and reading and writing to them and so on. So as a result, you get to focus on the important stuff, the real value or the purpose of your application. This is called the .NET Framework Class Library, or the FCL. Some books also refer to this as the Base Class Library, or the BCL. And I might accidentally even use those terms interchangeably myself, but it's the same thing that we're referring to there. So for right now, it's the .NET Framework Class Library that I really want to focus on. When we typed in the phrase console.WriteLine, We were using some code in that library that knows how to display text in a Windows console or Windows command line window. All we have to do is tell it what we want to display, or rather, all we got to do is tell it the important part, and then the class library takes care of the rest. We don't care how it writes the text to screen, we just care that the text ultimately gets displayed. So let's focus back on the code that we actually wrote. When I wrote this code, I made sure to emphasize that you have to write the code in the correct place. Otherwise, the application will encounter an error whenever you try to run it. The correct place was between the opening and closing curly braces. The curly braces define a code block. So as you can see, there are several sets of opening and closing curly braces. There's one here, there's a set here, and there's also a final set here. And you can think of these as a series of containers. And I'm going to oversimplify this just for a moment, and we'll build on that definition a little bit later. But this innermost block of code right here, defined by the curly braces, has a name. And that name is main. That's the name of this code right here. And this code just so happens to be executed first whenever the application is first executed. So I don't want to worry about the other words right now, like static and void and this string and this args and so on. This entire block of code, however, everything here, defines what's called a method. And a method is simply a named block of code. The main method lives within another set of curly braces here, a class named program. Think of a class as simply an organizational tool. Now, it's just, at this point, a way to keep your methods organized. We'll come back later and give it another definition. You put all the methods that are related together into a single class. And what do I mean by related? Well, that's really up to you to decide. As you get deeper into programming, you're going to come to understand philosophies of writing code that will dictate where code should reside and how to split things up. For right now, I want to keep things really simple. Let's not worry about it, but you can see there are some organizational containers and some things fitting inside of other things. That's the only important thing you need to take away at this moment. So notice that the class program itself lives inside of another named block of code, a namespace called Hello World. Again, to keep things simple, just think of a namespace as yet another way of organizing code. Again, we're going to come back to this later, and I'm going to tell you more about classes and namespaces. For now, just think of them as simple ways of keeping your code organized. And remember that methods you create need to live inside of a class, and that classes need to live inside of namespaces. Okay, so now let's take a look at the code we actually wrote. Console.WriteLine, open parenthesis, double quote, hello world, double quote, parenthesis, closing parenthesis, semicolon. All right, so here we're actually executing a method, a named block of code that somebody else wrote. The method name is WriteLine, and WriteLine method lives inside of a class called console. In fact, the second line of code, console.readline, is executing the readline method, a named block of code, again, that somebody else wrote. And both of these methods are organized into the same class named console. Since both methods deal with interacting with the Windows console, it just made sense that they're both organized and live inside of the console class. So here we're borrowing code, or rather we're executing code written by somebody else by merely referencing the class name and then the method name. And the way that we reference the method name is through this dot syntax. There's a period that's separating those two words. The period is called a member accessor. I don't expect you to memorize that just yet. In other words, we can access a member of the console class by using a period after the name of the class, then typing in the name of the member, or rather the method that we want to execute. All right. So next, both the write line and the read line methods have a pair of parentheses immediately following them. However, only the write line method has a value inside of the parentheses. The double quotes here and here, tell C# that we're passing or sending in to this method some information, a literal string. In other words, we literally want those exact words to be displayed. All right, as opposed to what, you might ask yourself. Well, I'm going to answer that later today when we talk about variables. The key idea here is that some methods can accept input values, such as a literal string in this case, which is then used by the WriteLine method to display to the console window. We'll come back to the notion of methods in the future. Just know that when you see parentheses, think method, okay? So next, let's talk about the semicolon, which we put at the end of both lines of code. You can see that it exists throughout the program, even here at the very top in some code that we haven't referenced just yet. The semicolon is similar to the period at the end of a sentence in the English language. It completes a thought. Some programming languages like Visual Basic allow only one thought per line of code, but with C#, you can organize multiple complete thoughts on a single line of code if you really want to. It's also possible to take a single thought and break it up into multiple lines. This isn't a very good example. Wouldn't really make sense in this context, but we could split up even this simple line of code into multiple lines. We'll do that more and more as our C# code becomes longer and more complex as a means of making it more readable. So the line breaks and the white space really doesn't matter to C#. It's the semicolons at the end of a complete thought that actually matter, okay? So notice that there's some indentation by default. So we can see there's quite a bit of indentation where our code resides, a little less indentation by this block of code, a little less indentation in this block of code, and then no indentation at the namespace level. Just like the line breaks and the white space are optional, the indentation levels are optional as well. But it's so important for readability, for human readability, that the IDE will insert them for you and try to help you make sure that everything lines up so that you can visually see how your code relates to each other. Along those same lines, you can see Visual Studio color codes the text that's typed into the code window. Class names are kind of in this greenish aqua color, like here. Special C# reserve words are in blue, like you see here. String literals, like hello world, are in red, and so on. This makes your code, again, more human readable. Okay, so now expanding out from just the code that we wrote, notice that we're working inside of a little tabbed area here at the top, and the tab has a file name in it. program.cs. It's the label that we see on the tab at the top of this main area that we're working in. If we look over here to the right-hand side, we see this window called a Solution Explorer, and it has a tree-like view with several items in it. First, we can see a solution named Hello World, and then below that, a project named Hello World. And then beneath that, several different icons. They look kind of like folders, and we can expand them out if we wanted to. And the file that we're working in is called program.cs. It's also represented in this window as part of our project. So in the next lesson, we're going to learn a little bit more about the Solution Explorer and the other windows that are available to us. But simply put, the Solution Explorer is our main navigational device to the other files and settings that, once compiled, will make up the finished .NET assembly that we can execute or we can even put on somebody else's computer. All right, files and important settings are organized into projects, which are then compiled into a single .NET assembly. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Furthermore, one or more projects are organized into solutions. So here we have one project called Hello World that's organized into a larger solution called Hello World. Now, we only have one project in our solution, but as you continue to learn more and more about .NET, you'll see situations where it makes sense to have multiple projects all rolled up and organized under a single solution. So just for now, accept that there's this extra layer of solutions owning projects, and trust me, it's important, but not until we move past the basics, okay? The big question at this point should be, where are your files stored? When you did everything manually in the previous lesson, We created manually the Hello World folder directly in the root of our C drive. And as a result, you knew exactly where everything went, right? C:/hello world/, and then there was our helloworld.cs file, and then ultimately the helloworld.exe file. But when you rely on the IDE to create a project, you have to live with the conventions that they use for setting up solutions and projects. And you do have the option to change it, but we accepted the defaults, if you recall from the previous video, whenever we created the IDE version of our Hello World application. So let's open up our Windows Explorer, and we're looking for this Hello World project that we created within the IDE. So what I'm going to do is go to the Documents folder, and since I used Visual C Sharp 2010 Express Edition, I'm looking for a folder called Visual Studio 2010. Depending on the version of Visual Studio or Visual C Sharp Express Edition that you use, you may need to look at a different file name or folder name rather. So let's double click to go inside of that, and there are a number of subfolders, and we're looking for the projects subfolder, and you can see inside of that we have our Hello World folder. I'm going to double click to open up that, and you can see that that was our solution, and now we're looking at a solution file. If I hover my mouse cursor over, you can see it's a Microsoft Visual Studio solution. And then under that is another Hello World folder. This will be the one that contains the project. And here is our program.cs file, like we see right here, as well as a Hello World.cs proj. It's just going to contain some user options and settings that you inadvertently made whenever you set up your project or when you customize things about your project. Don't need to talk about those just yet. And then the actual project file itself that kind of contains references to all of the other files and things that are contained or under its ownership. Okay? And then there's some other folders like this bin and OBJ folder. First of all, let me show you that there's really nothing magical about these files. I'm going to right click and open with, and I'm going to choose a program. I'm going to browse, looking for Notepad. And I'll click open. And I do not always want to use the selected program. I'll click OK. And you can see that this is an XML file, which is just a simple file format. Looks a lot like HTML, if you're familiar with it, where you have opening tags and closing tags. So here we have a property group and a closing property group, and then a file alignment and a closing file alignment. And this is just a means of storing information in an organized way. It's not compiled. You can easily get in and it gives you enough rope to shoot yourself in the foot with, as the old expression goes. I just wanted to show you that that is how information about your project is stored in that file. What we really are interested in are these bin and OBJ directories, or at least the bin directory. If I were to double click inside of there, you can see that there are two folders, debug and release. Let's double click and go into the debug folder. And here we can see that we have a helloworld.exe, a Hello World application, and several other files that are used to help debug the application in at runtime or in debug mode. So if we were to double click this Hello World, you can see that it opens up our application. Furthermore, if we were to go into the release folder, you'll see that it's currently empty. The reason is because, as we'll learn, working with Visual Studio will allow us to pause the execution of applications. And so when we are running using Start Debugging, we are running in the context of Visual Studio. This is not a version of the application then that we would want to give away to somebody else, because it contains extra information that allows the execution to keep in sync with the IDE. What if we wanted to create a standalone version of our application that we could then give away to somebody else? We'll need to take a slightly different approach. We'll go to debug build solution. And you can see build started, build progress, build started, build succeeded. Okay, so some status appeared in the lower left-hand corner here. And now when we go into our release directory, it now has this helloworld.exe and a PDB file. We can delete that or ignore it, but it now has a version of the executable that we can put on somebody else's computer. Phew, okay. We covered a lot of ground in this lesson. So let's recap some things. First of all, we talked about the code that we wrote in the previous lesson. We talked about the organization of that code, how the code is organized within curly braces, which represents a code block. We added code to a method code block called main, which is executed automatically when a user runs our application. Methods are organized into classes and namespaces. We also saw how we use methods written by Microsoft to work with the console window. In fact, both methods were organized into the console class. We accessed the console class's methods by using a period, the member accessor, to access the member methods of the console class that Microsoft wrote so that we didn't have to. We also passed a literal string called hello world, enclosed in double quotation marks, as an argument to the write line method. Now, we don't care how the write line method works its magic. All we care about is that it knows how to display in the console window whatever we tell it to, in this case, hello world. Then we talked about the syntax of C sharp, specifically the need for the semicolon as an end of thought punctuation mark for the C sharp statement. We also talked about lines and spacing and indentation. These don't affect the code. However, they make it more readable for humans so that we can understand what's going on in the code. Likewise, we noted how the IDE color codes the text we type within the editor to further assist with the readability of our code. Then we used the Solution Explorer to understand the organization of the code. We talked about projects as a means of collecting all the files and settings required to generate a compiled .NET assembly, and we briefly explained how multiple projects can be managed under a single umbrella of a solution. Finally, we talked about where you can find all the files for your project, as well as the file structure for the compiled versions of the debug and the release versions of our .NET assembly. So the good news is that now that you've learned that, you'll never have to really worry about much of that again. You're well on your way to learning .NET. Quite honestly, some of the more tedious aspects are already behind you now, and it just gets more exciting from here. So next we're going to review the basic features of the Visual Studio IDE, which includes both Visual Studio and the Visual C Sharp Express Edition. And then we're going to move on to even more about how to express logic using the C Sharp syntax within your application. So we'll see you in the next video. Thank you.